From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with a local and statewide news update. Attorneys for the family of a man fatally shot by a Juneau police officer last December are highlighting audio of the officer talking to himself before the shooting. The attorneys argue that what the officer says shows the officer's state of mind and indicates that killing Kelly Stevens was planned. In a press conference this afternoon and in a letter sent to state prosecutors, the attorneys called for the state to reopen its investigation into Juneau police officer James Esbenshade. Previously, the state's Office of Special Prosecutions reviewed the Juneau Police Department's investigation, concluded the shooting was legally justified self-defense, and declined to prosecute. State attorneys say they are reviewing the material in light of the family's request and will respond by early next week. For Juneau's ongoing COVID-19 response, local officials are moving toward using a prescribed set of policies that shift on the fly, according to the community's risk status. Basically, the idea is when conditions worsen, restrictions would automatically tighten. When conditions improve, restrictions would automatically relax. KTOO's Jeremy Shea reports.
Up to this point in the pandemic, health restrictions have gone through the Juneau Assembly's regular policymaking process. Early on, that meant a series of marathon meetings to adopt emergency measures to limit the spread of the coronavirus. Deputy City Manager Mila Cosgrove explained how the new system would work to the Juneau Assembly on Monday.
We could simply say we are at a high level of risk, and this is why we've arrived there, and here's what it means for you community members or you travelers coming into our community.
What it means in terms of travel restrictions, restaurant and bar capacities, gathering sizes, and other restrictions. Emergency officials are tracking about 20 specific risk indicators. They boil those indicators down into an overall community risk status on a scale with four tiers. Shifting tiers would trigger a shift in community restrictions. The Juneau Assembly reviewed a draft of the framework on Monday. Local emergency officials developed it with guidance from state public health officials. It's similar to a state framework. A more predictable and transparent strategy for tamping down COVID-19. City officials hope this approach could improve compliance issues with public health mandates and guidance. For example, Cosgrove said city staff were sent out to bars and restaurants last week, sort of like secret shoppers, to see if the rules are being followed. She said restaurants appeared to be largely compliant, but bars were not.
Some of them are great and some of them are maybe not complying, and perhaps if they understand that the alternative if case jumps, that bars will actually be closed, that might be some additional motivation to make sure the rules are being followed.
Juneau Assemblymember Michelle Hale has already internalized the system's color coding. Local emergency officials say Juneau is currently in an orange, moderate risk status. The lowest risk tier is yellow.
It's all of our responsibility, all of our collective responsibility to take those actions to move ourselves back into yellow. We do not have to follow the trajectory of the rest of the country. We don't have to keep increasing our cases.
As of Tuesday afternoon, local authorities were aware of 25 active COVID-19 cases in Juneau, which is trending up. That figure includes 8 non-residents. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
A Petersburg-based whale-watching and charter company has documented a rare white orca swimming in the waters of the Inside Passage of Southeast Alaska this summer. The young killer whale has been sighted frequently in British Columbia and Washington State as well. KFSK's Joe Vicknicki reports.
Dennis Rogers is owner of Alaska Sea Adventures, which offers trips on the vessel Northern Song for overnight whale watching and nature tours throughout Southeast. He was on a charter trip with 8 guests cruising along the shorelines of Kuyu and Kuprinoff Islands west of Petersburg. He says they spotted 3 orcas, including a whitish one, along the Kuprinoff shoreline on August 7th.
It sure made spotting them easy when they went down underwater. They disappear, and typically very hard to follow. But having a white one under the water, you could see him probably an easy 10 feet below the surface, this big white shape moving along there.
The boat was able to stay with the whales. Stephanie Hayes is first mate on the Northern Song and a doctoral candidate at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. She was able to get some good photographs for identification.
When the killer whales of the other killer whales of the pod first popped out of the water. It's exciting, of course, because killer whales, orcas are wonderful to see. But then I saw kind of a glow under the water and thinking, wow, that's an awfully white killer whale. It's doing something funny. And no, it was just genuinely the white killer whale, and it popped up, and yeah, you could hear an audible gasp from everybody on the bow going, oh my gosh, what are we seeing here? It was really incredible.
This orca was born in 2018. Researchers have assigned it a catalog number, 46B1B, based on its lineage. But its nickname is a little more poetic. It's called Tuluk, a Coast Salish word for moon. It's a grayish moon color without the typical black and white pattern. It does have intricate markings very visible near its dorsal fin, which also help with an ID. Scientists call animals like this leucistic, which is a different inherited condition than albinism. Jared Towers is a killer whale researcher with Fisheries and Oceans Canada.
I don't believe it's an albino whale. It's not quite pure white, and it doesn't have the pink eyes that would indicate albinism. But, you know, there's a possibility that it has some kind of rare condition, which includes partial albinism. But I think it's probably more so a lack of pigment, which is much more common.
Still, Towers calls this animal quite rare, with just two currently alive and just five or six documented in this population in the last 80 years or so. Others have been documented closer to Russia. This whale's mother and grandmother have ranged up and down the Pacific coast. The family, though, is more commonly seen around Vancouver Island. Towers believes it's the first trip for this two-year-old into Alaskan waters.
I think it's great that the little guy has been seen up there. He seems to be healthy. Every time I've seen him, he's looking pretty good. And again, not surprising that he has shown up. The family has a long sightings history in that area, as well as BC and Puget Sound, Washington, and as I said, even as far south as Oregon.
He notes killer whales travel quickly, and it's likely this group could be back near Vancouver Island in just a couple weeks. There are multiple distinct types of orcas which eat different food. The resident whales focus on fish. Other rare offshore orcas are shark eaters, but this whale belongs to the meat eaters, or Biggs killer whales, also called transients. They feast on porpoises, dolphins, sea lions, and seals. This pod was observed swimming the shoreline of Mitkoff Island near Petersburg a couple days later. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki.
The passenger who tested positive for coronavirus aboard the only cruise ship to sail in Alaska during the pandemic does not have COVID-19, according to the operator of the ship. Last week, the Wilderness Adventurer, operated by Uncruise, turned around halfway through its first trip of the season after a passenger on board got a call that he had tested positive for COVID-19 at the Juneau Airport. It's unclear at this time how the passenger received the positive test and was later cleared. The test was processed at a state lab, and according to Mila Cosgrove, who heads up Juneau's emergency operation, a false positive from the type of test conducted at the airport is, quote, highly unlikely. The ship returned to Juneau and all passengers were quarantined at a local hotel. The crew of the boat quarantined on board the vessel. The crew was tested and cleared by state health officials, and the ship has left for a shipyard in Seattle, according to Dan Blanchard, the company's CEO. Blanchard says the majority of the ship's passengers have tested negative and have been released from quarantine, but there are still some passengers awaiting test results. Uncruise had four additional sailings planned for this season, but those have all been canceled. And the mother of a baby born on an airplane that was taking her to a hospital in Anchorage has named her son Sky to reflect his unique birth. KTUU-TV reports that Crystal Hicks gave birth to Sky Aaron Hicks on August 5th, around 1 a.m. after boarding a plane from the small community of Glen Allen to be flown to a hospital. She was 35 weeks pregnant. Hicks and her son made it safely to the hospital. Sky was placed on a breathing machine when he arrived because he was born a month premature. The baby is expected to be discharged from the hospital next week. And just a quick look at the latest coronavirus count. The Alaska Department of Health and Social Services reported Sunday there were 98 newly confirmed cases of the coronavirus among state residents. The new case reports brought the number of residents known to be currently affected to 2,600, while almost 1,100 residents were reported to have recovered. This is KTOO News.